It is a joyful noise when our children sing and dance and when they depart the room. And can this come down just a little? I wish there would be in the back kids dancing up front. It's really, really beautiful. Let's say a prayer over them and us as we enter into this space of listening to the Word of God and inviting God to speak. May the sound of children cause our hearts to rejoice. It is our deep prayer that they would know you. And so for this space where volunteers tell them about the mighty works that you have and the stories of Jesus, the truth that your mighty Spirit dwells within them. Lord, may they know you, may they walk with you. May it never be that they don't know your love in return. And for us in this place, O God, who cared so much for us not to destroyed, that you promised to send one, a prophet like Moses, and promised to put your words in his mouth, that we would know your word. O God, who sent redemption to his people in the person of Jesus, would you breathe through this scripture that it may be living and active? And Jesus, would you be the preacher this morning? And Holy Spirit, would you make it possible for us to hear? We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we've been given a story, chapter 1. For anyone who read on verses 21 to 28, hear the word of God. Beginning of Jesus' ministry. They went to Capernaum, and if you remember, glory from last week, the kingdom here, repent and believe in God, the followers of Jesus. This pick up. Is teaching them having authority. Christ, what you have with us, Jesus of Nazareth, you just know who you are. But Jesus, and come out. Spirit, convulsing him, crying with a they were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, what teaching he commanded even the unclean spirits and about the surrounding region of Galilee. At his teaching, for he taught as having authority. A new teaching. This is a contest. This is a fight scene. Mark is out of Jesus because the story that telegraph everything that's all the way to the Jesus will be in with those who have authority
and it will be his authority that evokes demonic story are questions about authority. Will we submit to our own authority? We submit to the authority, the institutions that that structure our lives? Will we submit to the authority structures that have become and familiar to us, or will we be a people who are open to an authority that does not come from within us, but comes to us from God? Will we submit to the authority of Jesus? That's the question in the middle of this conflict. It begins in a synagogue, it goes to a cross, and it continues today. This is our conflict story. There are a couple of just characters or moments or suggestions in the story that I want to frame and ask questions on. And in all of it, I want to invite you not to see this as a strange story about a strange time, about a phenomenal happening that involves things that we know nothing about, like demons. I want to invite to hear this as our story, as your story, and these questions about conflict and authority as questions at the very center of our own being, okay? First, you have Jesus. And we'll talk about Jesus throughout our time. Very questions about him. You know, in this very opening chapter of Mark, he comes as one proclaiming the time is fulfilled and the kingdom has come near, not coincidentally at the time that he emerges on the scene. And he demands that we repent. We have a total change of our heart and our mind, of our direction, of our lives, of our actions. And we believe the good news. And then this one, Jesus, calls folks away from their place of economic stability. He calls people who've got a living that they're making and he says, leave your nets, come with me. He disrupts economic stability in people's lives. And then he says to them, oh, by the way, your daddy in the boat, leave him too. He of their lives. And Jesus, who has disrupted economy and will continue to disrupt economy, and Jesus, who has disrupted family, and maybe you've experienced, continues to disrupt family, now at the very center of community and disrupts religious authority. And if I don't find this troubling, we're all in trouble. So Jesus is presented already in the Gospel of Mark, and it will continue all the way through, as one who bears the authority of God, therefore one who bears ultimate authority. It kind of comes to a moment in chapter 11 where it is expressed just as quickly as possible, where those who oppose him say, by whose authority and by what authority do you do these things? That's the question. Toward which Mark is not so subtly saying, the authority of the one who said he would send, one in whose mouth is the very word of God. See, Jesus, authority. Just a super quick question, put a placeholder on it, ponder. Do we often associate authority when we think about Jesus? I would say, not as readily as I think of so many other things. I think of Jesus. I think about love. I think about forgiveness. I think about freedom from oppression. I think about all kinds of things. And I suspect it has something to do with the way our culture is forming. I'm not nearly as quick to associate Jesus with total authority. And I think it's because I've been trained in culture to be very suspicious of authority. Maybe you have too. Moving to the next characters, the scribe. So we've talked about the scribes a little bit. They have phenomenal authority in their communities. And they are portrayed as adversaries of Jesus all throughout the narrative. But I think it is really important for us to remember the fact that these scribes are deeply faithful people. Their authority comes from a right place. Right? God institutes ways of being for God's people. And within that, there are teachers, there are Levites, there are priests, you have scribes. This is a righteous position to hold. It is a good form of authority when it is not perverted. And these scribes, I think it's important for us to give a generous reading to them. They want nothing more than to honor God with their lives and for their communities to honor God with their lives. And so they give their whole lives to that. These scribes are also human beings. When we use labels, scribes, or illegal, or any other thing, we miss the humanity, folks. Let us not miss the humanity of the scribes. They're human beings, which means just like us, they are prone to making the authority that they have rightfully as being an ultimate form of authority, rooting their identity in the thing that is familiar to them and the thing that they can control. They root their sense of security and meaning and purpose and direction in life all in this sphere that they have control over. This is a very human thing. Just like us, use our authority to define insiders and outsiders and enemies. It's a very human thing. So that's the scribes. Are we together? We got Jesus, the authority. We have scribes who have lots of authority. And we have a collision. Now, I want to take an idea that the scribes are not just about synagogue authority. I think as God breathes into the scripture and it is constantly living and active and helpful to us to understand our own lives in the world, I think we can read the story of the scribes and just go, what we're talking about here is human authority structures. Any human authority structure. And here's what we can say about human authority structures. They are good and they are necessary. And what do I mean by human authority structures? The list could go on and on, but just to give you a sense, I think you talk about a government, you're talking about a human authority structure. You talk about a religion, you're talking about a human authority structure. Families, human authority structure. Philosophy, govern, you know, how you think about, interpret, walk through the world. That's a governing or an authoritative structure. It could be a field of knowledge, like science, or more particularly, like medicine. That is an authority structure. These things are good. They are necessary. Can you imagine a world in which no child ever had the authority structure of family? It'd be chaos. Can you imagine a world in which no doctor had to submit to the authority structure of the field of medicine? Can you imagine a world where there's no government? Now, I'm not saying imagine a world with better government, different government. I'm saying, can you imagine a world with no government? It's called chaos. See, these authority structures that the Bible and other places calls powers and principalities, they are made in and through and for Jesus, and they are good. We need them. Are you tracking with me? And are human. Which means, just like scribes, they are susceptible to all manner of perversion, to all manner of fear in which they cling to their own authority and make it absolute. This can happen in governments, in religions, in families, in philosophies, in any field of knowledge. Because we're human. And we are fallible. When an authority structure becomes, it inevitably becomes insecure. It becomes fearful, and therefore it clings to its own establishment and to its own perpetuation at all costs. It has to define insiders and outsiders and enemies. And it can forget the righteous root of its being. It can forget good and necessary purpose for which it exists, and it can become demonic, and it can oppose the will and the ways of God and the kingdom of God. Everything that Jesus says he comes to bring good to the poor and release from the captives and liberty for the oppressed and sight for the blind and the year of the Lord's favor. Our authority structures are meant to serve those things, and when they become perverted, they will resist those things. And we are surrounded by perverted authority structures. Still together. So then you have this possessed man. And just a quick word about demon possession. Because I can imagine there being one or two folks in the room for whom that's a strange thing. Yeah, I haven't ever seen anything quite like what's described in this passage. I have seen things that I would say that is demonic, where it appears to me that a force that is absolutely opposed to the will and the way and the goodness and the beauty of God has inserted itself so precisely and in such a timely manner as to kill, steal, and destroy, and say is it is demonic. I don't have in the resurrection of the Son of God, so it is not difficult to believe in demons. However they present themselves. And I can't explain so much of what happens in our world. I cannot explain so much of what happens in me apart from the category of the demonic. I mean, there are times in my life where things come up out of me that are so opposite of everything I want to be and everything I discipline my life to be that all I can say is, what is that? That is something so dark. It's not something I want to submit myself to. It's not something I choose and say, today I'm going to act this way. All I can say is it's demonic. And particularly in times when I'm trying to be so faithful. So like I think about the ways, like for instance, the way this church began. The church begins with this very righteous desire, this very biblical vision of being this multi-ethnic family, right? Of tearing down the walls of division that are between us. And it is good, the vision. And then in our first couple of years, and for those of you who are around, you will remember it probably with great pain, there was just a phenomenal amount of bloodshed. It was so painful. We hurt each other in such deep ways that in our desire to walk in the way of righteousness, we actually brought up walls and hurt each other rather than bringing down walls and embracing each other. And what do you call that when you intentionally try to walk in the ways of Jesus and you end up going against the ways of Jesus? All I can say is demonic. And this happens all the time. We try to resist things like racism and we end up perpetuating it by the very way we try to resist it. This just, it's all over us. I don't have a hard time believing the demonic, regardless of the way it manifests. So here's a demon-possessed man. And I need to remember as I read this story that this man is a member of the community that is defined by the authority structure of the scribes, right? His whole world is defined by this authority structure. This authority structure gives him sense of meaning and direction in the world. It gives him his sense of self and what is faithful and what is right and what is good and what is true and what is beautiful and what is of God. I mean, everything in his world that he wants and needs is defined by this authority structure. And then there's this collision with Jesus, who is the ultimate authority of God, and everything in his religious authority structure begins to crumble, because as they listen to Jesus, it just becomes evident. By some means, I don't know what Jesus was teaching, but it says, and he has authority and not as the scribes. Can you imagine the crisis for a person whose entire identity is defined by this authority structure, and now it is under question, and now it is starting to unravel, and now there is fear, and there is anxiety, and when we're afraid and we're anxious, we become defensive, and we become violent, and we lash out, and this man rises up and lashes out at the very God he desires nothing more than to submit his life to. And it's demonic. And he says, what have you to do with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I mean, everything we know is humbling. Have you come to destroy us? And in case that sounds foreign, think about what's happening in our nation right now. How many people in our nation right now feel like the very world that we know and live in is under attack, it's under assault, it's being threatened, and so what's happening? There's fear, there's division, there's anxiety, there is all kinds of defensiveness, and now violence coming out of it. This is what's happening in our world because authority structures are unraveling. Sometimes authority structures need to unravel. Anytime an authority structure has ceased to serve its good and necessary purpose under God, it must unravel. And when it does, our demons will come. And they are coming. This man is a member of this community, and in this state of fear and anxiety, it distorts his view of Jesus, and he actually thinks Jesus is there to destroy him and to destroy this whole thing that life is all about. This is what the demonic does. It distorts the view of Jesus. And so anytime we would perceive Jesus as calling us in authority structure within which we are comfortable, can receive threat. And then the demonic does something really interesting to me. It names Jesus very correctly. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And this is where it gets scary to me. In what ways can we name Jesus very correctly and yet name Jesus untruthfully? When you name Jesus correctly as the Holy One of God, but then untruthfully as one who comes to destroy. Or you name Jesus correctly as the Son of God, and then untruthfully as one whose will for you is to obey your masters and be good slaves. Or you name Jesus correctly as the Son of God, and then name him untruthfully as head of a church, and therefore the reason why women should submit and raise their voices and never live into their full identity. Or who names Jesus as the Son of God correctly and then untruthfully by saying, and those of you of particular sexual orientations are not welcome here. Or, maybe far more dangerous for us, because that little list I just gave, isn't that convenient that we get to be on the right side of all those? Isn't that nice?
How about folks like us who would name Jesus as the Son of God and pursue the things of the kingdom that we believe in so much, things of justice and equity? And in doing so, we would name those who oppose us as ignorant, as outsiders, as enemies, as deplorable, as those who do not belong, as those who we would be better off without, and those apart from whom we can move forward. You see, Jesus is one who comes to us and says, when I am lifted up, I'm going to draw all people unto myself. And you will love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you will love your enemy. Pray for the ones that persecute you. And even in our authority structure that we give the name Jesus to and go about our business of justice under that banner, we can do it in a way where we name Jesus accurately and we name Jesus untruthfully with our lives. And that is demonic. So subtle. And I know it exists in me. I went to a rally yesterday for immigrant rights and elevating the stories of sanctuary. And I got an email last night. I find that whenever I end up on the news, I get emails now. This was a professed Christian who was very angry that I / we would do what we are doing. And they literally asked, by what authority do you do this? / What would Jesus do? And I was tempted to laugh too. I did laugh. I laughed. And then I felt deeply convicted because in laughing, I set myself above that person, above that person. I told the truth about what Jesus would do and then told a lie about who I am in relationship to that person. Who is a member of the body of Christ and the ear does not get to say to the hand, I do not need you. This is in us because all of us exist in a world where we need authority structures and in our fallible human nature and our bent towards curing things for ourselves and our tremendous fear of anything settles what we know. We make authority structures something they were never meant to be, and that is ultimate authorities. There is one authority. Jesus says to the disciples and to us, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. So go all nations. Because under the authority structure of Jesus, there are no outsiders. There are no enemies. Because we refuse to hate and we choose love. And when we're asked, pray for folks with whom we so vehemently disagree. We are asked to remember their humanity and the fact that we are just as prone to perversion as we are. And the fact that in the places where we are perverted and we are, we don't have a clue. Do you know that you're wrong? Profoundly central thing that you believe? Of course you don't. I don't know that I'm wrong or where I'm wrong, but I know without a doubt I'm finite, I'm fallible, I'm sinful. The demonic has shown up in me enough time now that I know I'm susceptible to perversion. And so what could I possibly be in the face of my own sinfulness and in the face of the authority of Jesus, in whose authority structure there are outsiders, what can I be other than humble? What can I say other than I will do what I believe I should do, I will say it with as much clarity as I can say it, and I could be wrong. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus does not come to destroy. Friends, Jesus comes to set us free. Jesus comes to cast out any demon in us that distorts our view of who Jesus is and therefore our view of who every other human being in this world is. We've got to be set free. Jesus comes to cast out any demon that brings up in resistance to the will and the ways of Jesus. Any demon that would convince us Jesus is not ultimately trustworthy. That would convince us that the will of God and the ways of Jesus are not everything we want for ourselves. You could see the big picture. Every demon in us that would convince us to go our own way and give Jesus this part, but not this part of our lives, comes to cast it out because we need to be set free. Jesus, have you come to destroy us? No, he says, I've come to set you free, that you might not ever live with outsiders or enemies, that at most you would grieve the brokenness between family, and that you would humbly walk as one who knows that your authority structures are as fallible as those of others, and that your need for me is complete, just like everyone else. So may it be, City Well, that we would know in this story we are the scribes. We are the ones who have been given authority structures that are good and necessary and capable of being perverted. That we are those who are tempted to define others as outsiders. May we know we are the possessed man. We are those who can readily perceive Jesus in his authority as a factor of our well-being and not the key to it and the Lord over it. We, like the possessed man, are capable of naming Jesus accurately and in the same breath, naming him untruthfully. So may Jesus, that you would save us from all the ways the demonic would deceive us and draw us away from you. Forgive us, O God, where we've played the game of division and superiority. Holy Spirit, would you form in us a profound desire to trust the Lord with every part of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.